If you had a chance to look around and to see the people who you, the people of this place, value as the saints of God. They're old people, you know, like Russ Seiler. He's laughing in heaven at that joke, I'm telling you right now. There are young people like Gary. There are parents, there are daughters, there are sons, there are grandparents. There are people who have been those people in whom we have experienced what life is all about, the gift of love and grace and faith. On this day when we gather, it can be a sad day. It can be a day of tears. It can be a day of longing, especially if the wounds are a bit new, if there's still difficult heartbreak in our lives. And you know, as I come together on this day, I'm mindful of the people of my life who have made a difference. I think of my grandparents. I think of both sets of my grandparents who were incredibly faithful, who I would see every morning when I would be visiting them, reading their Bible, taking me to church on Sundays, those kind of experiences. I think of my parents who were tremendous witnesses of the faith, even if they were also strict disciplinarians at home. And at times, I would just simply tune out my father when he was preaching because it was the same voice yelling at me the night before. Yes, indeed, those saints who have gone before us. I think of Joanne Lyons, who was my Sunday school teacher. I think of another one of my high school Sunday school teacher, Kent Ohm, who was the coolest cat in the world, man. This guy never had a lesson planned for senior high youth, but every time we would talk about what was going on in our lives, he would somehow pull it back to where is Jesus in all of this. I think about my college professors, who were so meaningful, Dr. Yoder, Dr. Glass. I think of my seminary professors, Dr. Everett, Dr. Siegel. Dr. Siegel was the man who was the smartest man I've ever known. And when I was doubting my faith in seminary, yes, it happens sometimes, even to pastors in seminary, wondering and doubting about my faith. As I looked over and watched the smartest man I've ever seen in my life, seeing amazing grace with such faith and with such fervor, I said, well, maybe God, I can give you one more day because he's smarter than I will ever be and he loves you completely. Yes, those saints who instill in us promise and hope and meaning. And indeed, those saints who know us so completely that in the midst of our hurt, they hurt with us and lead us through it. You know, I love this reading for today. As a matter of fact, it holds a special place in my heart, as it was the guiding text that I used to preach when I preached one time, invited by a classmate of mine in my doctoral program in Chicago to preach on the south side of Chicago in Baptist Church in Chicago, where I was the only one that was, I guess I was the minority, I should say, in that moment, as I was the white preacher amongst 300 or so African-American brothers and sisters. And I preached on this text. And I love this text because it says something powerful to us about what it means to be the people of God and to hear the lengths to which God is willing to go for us. Because on this day, this All Saints Day, when we can long for those who hurt, who have been so meaningful to us in our lives, when we think of the people who are in all of these pictures, who have either gone way too soon or even if they lived a long, full life, that means there is so much more to miss. Brothers and sisters, when we long and we hurt for that, we know that our God has experienced the same thing. It's interesting. Back in the day, my dad said that in his church, every confirmand would have to stand up in front of the church and share their Bible verse and then answer some questions in front of the church to be confirmed. That was kind of the way they did it. And he said that the coolest guy in his class stood up there and was asked, you're supposed to memorize a Bible verse. And he stood up there and they said, "What's your Bible verse?" And he said, "Jesus wept." Now, he did it to be kind of a smart aleck, because that was the easiest thing to remember. But man, is there any perhaps more powerful piece of scripture than to hear that the God of the universe, the creator of all things, the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, wept at what death can do to his friends? The lesson says something pretty powerful. It said that Jesus was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And scholars will tell us that there is an overtone of anger in that. That here it is, the God who has come near, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the one who has come near, is experiencing in the death of his friend Lazarus, in the pain of his friends Mary and Martha, in them looking at him and saying, "Jesus, if you would have been here, he would not have died." Of being cognizant that after 4 days, you might wonder, why is that in Scripture? It's because that means he was really dead. Not like the movie, if you've seen it, Princess Bride, where it said, well, he's mostly dead. Well, no. He was really dead. 4 days meant he was officially dead. And in that moment, Jesus looks at the pain that death causes, the thing that separates him, the Creator, from all of us, his beloved creation, the people whom it is said in Revelation that the place, the home of God, is among mortals. The God who comes near looks at that pain, looks at that death, looks at that struggle, and he is greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And what that means is he is angry at what death can do to us. And he weeps because he hurts, because we will hurt. Whenever we shed a tear or had a sleepless night or had a broken heart, our God does not abandon us to those moments. Our God is not absent in those moments. No, in fact, our God suffers with you. And our God promises then to do something about it. Our God raises Lazarus from the dead. And what's powerful about that is he does it not just because he could, because he always could. He could do it all the time. He raises Lazarus not just because he could, but because he cared. Cared. The creator of all things cared so much about his friends that in that moment he raised him. And it becomes for us a model for how God raises new life in the midst of all the deaths that we experience. Jesus wept is more than just the shortest Bible verse in all of Scripture. It is the verse that tells us the character of who God is and how precious your life and your pain and your struggle is to Him. And so God then says, "I am going to take you on death. And I am going to make it so that that word, that pain, that struggle will not have the final word for my people. No, I will take on that death. I will defeat that death so that my hope, my love, my grace, my promise of new life is the final word for you and for your pain. And for your hurts, and for your struggles, and for your loss, and for your death. My word that will draw you close to the hope and promise of God, the love that will draw you close in the midst of your pain and your tears to the one who can indeed wipe away every tear and wipe away every struggle and indeed give you new life. The one who will draw you close because God's home is with us and with you in all that this life may bring. In Jesus' name, amen.